sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys Horror Movie Podcast. I'm Rolando.
We're horror boys. Oh my god, we haven't done this in a couple of weeks. I'm sorry. Go, take it back.
No, you go.
All right. Hey, we're Rolando and Johnny. We are horrors podcast skeletons. God damn it. We fuck skeletons so you don't have to, and then we rate the movies. We rate the
Sometimes you watch TV.
We watch TV on our phones and our streaming services. Is it still TV? I don't know.
This is why we're on a strike. LA's at a standstill because they're trying to decide all that. Can't figure any of that out. And welcome to the show this week. We are going to review The Communion Girl. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give her first thoughts. We'll go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We are viewing Atlanta Season 2, Episode 6, titled Teddy Perkins. So.
Damn, what's there to say about this episode?
So we're still in our kick here. We're picking stuff to watch. And John, you picked this.
Teddy Perkins
episode. Very acclaimed. I had even heard about it before I saw it, even though I had never seen it before. So.
You know, usually I find things I can like kind of make fun of just to liven things up. Well, this isn't like something you can really poke fun at. I mean, you want to make fun of how odd and white girls-esque the makeup is on Donald Glover, which a lot of people didn't know Donald Glover did that, right? Played the Teddy Perkins role.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could totally tell. It sounds like him.
That's what I kind of thought, too. But he also wasn't credited. And what's his name? The actor did not know it was him.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah, like, I think for the longest time, nobody knew it was him.
Well, from what I had to, like... I did a little bit of like just Googling, and then they had a picture of, I think, Atlanta at some sort of award show, and Donald Glover was there with the award, and then they had somebody in the Teddy Perkins. So it's kind of like somebody else dressed as him at that award show.
Oh, good old Donald Glover stealing another bit.
From Mandy Kaufman, yeah.
Yeah. What was the name of that guy? Tony Clifton.
Yeah.
There's still, I think, because he trained 3 different guys to do that at one point.
He did,
and
yeah.
And I think 2 of them are still alive and will randomly do something at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, yeah. Strangely, I saw him. I saw him in a clip. He was like, I guess there used to be this show on Showtime where comedians would all sit around and discuss whatever, but then they would have like a live audience around them, and so it was very casual. They would smoke, drink, and they would just talk about, the clip was kind of like just about like race or something. I don't know, they had a lot of different, I never caught the name of the show. I don't remember. Do you know what I'm talking about, or have you ever seen this?
Yeah, is this something, it sounds like something that's still going on, right?
Don't know. It looked kind of old from what I saw, because they had a Bo Burnham in one of the clips, and he looked like a teenager. So when I saw it,
I mean, to be fair, he kind of always looks like it. Yeah, full comedy actors roundtable.
Something. Yeah, that possibly. Yeah.
So they still do it once in a while. Looks like.
Okay. And Tony Clifton was in one of the. Coincidentally, one of the episodes had Tony Clifton, and he was like heckling and they removed him. They removed him from the show. Yeah, like he wasn't one of the like guests. He was actually just sitting in the audience. So it's kind of a I didn't get the whole context of it, but it was funny. It was funny to see him. But yeah, this is kind of like Donald Glover's Tony Clifton esque take.
But then, how could he be there if he doesn't survive the episode?
Yeah. So, yeah, this episode. Have you seen it before?
I had not.
No. You had not.
I had seen
okay.
clips of it, but no. Yeah, I rather enjoyed it. I mean, it was unnerving, weird.
Right. Yeah.
I would say nothing terribly threatening happens until the last like 10 minutes, right?
There's like the big thing that happens.
Yeah. Well, but the thing about that is, according to everything that happened in the episode, and I understand he really wanted this piano, I would have left within like the first 10 minutes. Like, yeah. Nah, fuck this.
Yeah, he really wanted the piano. He doesn't, even in the episode, he says that he doesn't even play it. He just like likes the look of it. Or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just liked the look of it.
He really wanted it, yeah.
So,
and then when you see the actual piano keys, they're just like painted on with crayon. It's not even anything special.
I guess if nobody had seen this episode, we should describe that Donald Glover plays Teddy Perkins, and it's basically Michael Jackson, a former black musician who has had a who's bleached his skin. So, and yeah. But it's I understand that it's not only Michael Jackson. It's a mix of different. I'm assuming there's different inspirations here going on.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that's the big one.
That's the big one. Just, yeah.
People in the industry becoming disassociated with reality and, you know, how certain elements, especially when celebrities get some extreme sort of element, you know, they just hide away from the limelight. So it's very, Grey Gardens-esque sort of too.
Yeah. Yeah. When I did some research, people were pointing out that it, also, the plot was similar to What's Up with Baby Jane, or is that right? Or
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What's Up with Baby Jane? Yeah, that's what it's called, right?
I think so. I feel like that's what it's called.
What's up?
What's up, Baby Jane?
What's up, like, Baby Jane?
Is that right?
It's not popping up yet.
Oh, no.
No, because, I mean, in my head, I'm like, yeah, because that's like a movie from like the 60s. They totally talk like that, right? So What's Up with Baby Jane? Oh, it's What's Up, Baby Girl, No Cap is the name of the movie you're thinking of.
Whatever happened to Baby Jane. There you go. Oh, my God.
Yeah. What up? Skirt, No Cap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the hip-hop version. What up, Baby Jane? Remix.
As presented by Billie Eilish and Post Malone.
Yeah, and what's his name? Miranda. I can't think of his name. Anyways, yeah. I thought it was... So, yeah.
Also, to note what this is a kind of like a bottle episode, right? Because the only main character from the show is Darius. They've like... Keith Stanfield.
Yeah.
And so then, it's not really a canon episode to any part of the series.
Yeah. And I felt like, no, so I have watched only the first season in Atlanta and remember it being the first half being a little more plot centric episodes and the latter half being more explorative. You know what I mean? They were more like almost sketch-ish. Like kind of episodes, from what I recall, and I'm assuming this is kind of like similar to that, where like they just have like you know, a fun creative episode out of the sort of the mind of Donald Glover and his collaborators there. I know he worked closely with the director. He had like the same director directing the episode, so it's like the same team almost for a lot of the episodes. It's a very small group.
Well, this dude, Hiro Murai, mm-hmm. I think did a lot of his like Childish Gambino stuff well before the series.
Okay, yeah.
Like, because that dude I looked up, like he also did a handful of episodes for Barry a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or what year is it? Shit, more than a couple years ago, I think. And then he did Legion also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this guy's he's good. That's what.
And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, I think it's an interesting setup and premise about a guy who finds something, you know, online that he wants, similar to like stuff. What is it like Craigslist or like eBay? You know what I mean? Like Facebook now is kind of like the big yard sale online situation. So, and then he goes and it turns out to be like a really like creepy experience. He lives in this giant mansion. Very kind of a recluse type of individual. And he gets.
It's just like, and thankfully, Darius is absurdly strong. Like, he's a strong man, I think.
He moved the piano.
Like, off camera, because he was able to pop that piano on its side on a dolly, strap it together without any help.
I thought of you instantly when when this is happening, John.
Yeah, I was going to tell you right now, like, nope. I'm not gonna blow my back out moving the fucking piano.
You can keep it, yeah. But he did have an elevator, right? So I was like,
He did, but when they were moving the, because it just cuts to him moving the piano, mm-hmm. and it's on its side on a dolly, and I'm like, how the fuck did you do that, dude?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think it was like a two wheeler. I think it was like a four wheel dolly, which is just flat on the ground, but up like roughly 6 inches to like 8 inches. So he had to lift this fucking thing up, put it on the thing, because he can't tilt this piano. It's going to break. Anyway.
Right, yeah.
He did it, though, so he knows more than I do.
For the sake of the plot, he was able to do it.
But he's also immediately able to be tied up and knocked out.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Which, hell of an ending.
Hell of an ending.
Frame Darius for killing his brother, who he's the caretaker for, who was the more famous musician in the family, who had an extreme skin condition, right? He couldn't go out in the sun, is what I gathered.
Yeah.
He was covered up in bandages from head to toe.
He was. He was keeping his old, I don't know the age differences, but like, yeah, he kept his brother basically in the basement. Is that right? That's where he found him. Yeah.
Yeah, whichever way that worked. I thought it was the attic, and he said that he had to go to the basement to get the gun.
Oh.
Or vice versa.
I felt like the attic had the brother, and then like the gun was in the basement, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. I feel like he met him in the attic, and he was like, oh. I think he wrote on a pad saying, the gun in the basement, go get it. But before Darius could do it, because Darius was going to leave, he's like, oh, hey, Teddy, you parked behind me. Even though it's like a super open driveway, there's no other cars. He's like, oh, you need to move your car. I can't be bothered to five-point turn.
Yeah. Well, I did think about it. I didn't notice that. So he did like... park behind him, so there's like no way, because he brought a U-Haul, right? A U-Haul-ish, right? He brought a U-Haul.
Yeah.
So his only way in is like, he gotta go open the back, and the guy parked right behind him, so maybe he's thinking like, oh, I don't want to fuck that guy's vehicle up. But the piano, he probably could have easily, this very light piano, he could have easily maneuvered it around the car too, but...
Or just turned on the U-Haul and moved it.
Right, just a little further up.
Further up.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, no, you're right about that. I didn't think about that.
That's what I mean. It was like an open like driveway.
It was like a roundabout driveway. Yeah. For this,
I was like, you know, sorry, Donald Glover, you can't put that one past industry people because we go through that bullshit all the time. Hey, yeah. You need to move the truck. Like, you can't move the truck forward. Okay. We'll do that.
I felt like, so the video, so Teddy has, he has a skin condition, supposedly has a skin condition, right? Do you think he was just doing surgeries similar to how Michael Jackson was?
My guess was, well, what? Like, Michael Jackson did do that, but because he was losing the pigment in his skin, so he just bleached his entire body.
Right.
He felt uglier.
He also had a bad fire accident, right? He burned his scalp, head.
His scalp? During the Pepsi commercial?
Yeah, something like that, right?
It was a light blew up overhead.
Burned his hair, scalp. Yeah. So he had like, plus he had like image issues his whole life because he was an abusive dad or whatever. So.
Yeah, allegedly like his dad and his, I mean, following suit from his dad, they would all make fun of his nose.
That's right, like, yeah.
For being ugly and fat and probably some sort of racially charged comments were made.
Right.
So he like whittled his nose away to be basically like Voldemort style.
Yeah. Like amphibious. Yeah, like, fucking no nose. Yeah.
That's Teddy. That's Alana's Teddy's.
So real quick. So like Teddy wanted to be, so the dad, he mentions that the dad was abusive to both of them and that they both were like music prodigies. But you're saying that the brother was better. He states the brother was more famous. Because the museum, I thought, was... Because he has a museum that he created... I'm sorry, a gift shop. A gift shop for he created in his house because he wanted to make it a museum. And that was for him or that was for his brother? That was for his brother, right?
I think more for his brother because what the first real conversation Teddy Perkins and Darius have, he tells Darius who he is. He's like, oh, I'm Teddy Perkins, blah, 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 this. And Darius is like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. And then he goes, well, have you heard of my brother? Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, I don't know. And then he turns and looks at the pictures and he's like, oh, shit, is that your brother with this person? Is that your brother with this person?
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, Teddy Perkins starts to, like, Perkins up. He starts to like lighten up like, oh, you know who all these people are. Okay, cool. Like he was enjoying the validation somehow.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Because he, when I believe when he's trying to find Teddy to move the car, he goes upstairs and there's a old like 8mm video, or I'm sorry, excuse me, film playing. And it's a recording of the dad being basically like watching his son play, but also being kind of like abusive, like vocally, you know, like vocally and also like physical or a little physically, right? Because he's used to hit their hands and stuff. They didn't do well.
Which that part was great because you get this insight of their past and it all plays out with, you know, just him watching the projector. And then Teddy Perkins just finally says something. And he was like fucking sitting in the room right next to him the entire time. And you don't notice him at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really creepy.
Yeah.
Also, allegedly, this was an episode that ran commercial free intentionally to give it a trapped feeling.
No, yeah, it definitely has that. Honestly, like for the moment, like we see Teddy emerge from the shadows, like the whole thing is just creepy and it kind of ratchets up very nicely throughout the whole episode until the conclusion, right? That Teddy reveals that he wants to frame Darius for the murder of his brother.
Yeah, so you can get out of taking care of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you get this fucking badass ending right when Teddy Perkins is about to shoot Darius. His brother pops out of the elevator. And how does he do it? How does he get the gun away from him? Or how does all that work? I don't really remember how that happened, but the brother was able to grab the gun.
He had a thing with him, didn't he?
Shoot his brother.
I think he had a thing with him.
Oh, okay.
No, wait. He had the gun, I think Teddy had something in his hand. He knocked out Darius, I believe. So, full disclosure, we saw this like 2 weeks ago.
But the brother comes out, shoots Teddy Perkins dead.
Right.
And then before thinking about maybe helping Darius out of the chair, he just turns the gun on himself and blows his head off in front of Darius.
Right. Yeah.
And then the ending shot is Darius looking longingly at the piano that's being placed into custody.
He didn't get his piano. Yeah, you know, seeing this episode, I kind of, this is why I love Atlanta, because it has like all these like different feel. It's not like a normal type of TV show. It's kind of like the mind of Donald Glover, and Donald Glover, you always get the sense that he always is pulling from different inspirations. You know what I mean? So he's not, he's very like film literate. Does that make sense? Like,
Like he works really hard, and you know, you can tell that he's studied so much.
Right. Yeah.
And absolutely shouldn't be a affirmative action hire. In case anybody's heard that news.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, he's super creative guy. And I think the show kind of like is the antithesis of it, you know? So, this made me actually think like, man, I could probably like marathon these 4 or 5 seasons or whatever, because they're probably all really good. Even, you know, probably the ones that are even not, that I may not enjoy are probably still good. It's like it's one of those shows.
Yeah, I definitely got to get I need to check it out. I for some reason, I've never been able to get past the second episode. And not because I didn't like it, just because I was like, oh, I'll get back to it. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to watch the first 2 episodes again because I kind of don't remember. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I just don't.
Right. Yeah.
But to be fair, I did the same thing with Succession. I couldn't get past like the first season and then be like, I forgot what happened. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same here. I know this is also not, I know, you know, well, Succession is a very popular show, but like it was kind of a struggle to kind of get into, like to kind of get through the episodes. So I fell behind. And so I never really got back on, never got back, you know, current with it.
But I think if you have already seen Arrested Development, it's the same exact story. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking, what is it? King Lear. It's all King Lear, right? It all goes back to King Lear. It all goes back to King Lear. Alrighty. You have any other thoughts?
No, just great episode. That was fantastic.
I feel like Atlanta's a wildly popular show, but I mean, if you haven't seen it, I would watch it. I think it's totally worth watching, including this episode. So, alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of The Communion Girl. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes, I will give you the plot to one of the best Smith songs ever recorded that's nobody's ever heard, called The Communion Girl. Oh, there was a communion girl. I met her at a church, but I don't believe in God anymore. Right.
Thank you, John. Perfect.
Coming in at number 3 for my 5-word plot summary for The Communion Girl. Genetic deformity causes irritated skin. What? Did she have leprosy or anyway?
Yeah.
Why was she so ugly to everybody? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 2 for The Communion Girl. It's 1987 and I forgot.
Did we forget or did they forget? Did we forget?
I think everybody forgot.
Yeah.
Everybody forgot. It didn't matter what time period he based this fucking story, because
yeah,
it
It's irrelevant. It feels irrelevant. But go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Super irrelevant.
Yeah.
And coming in at number one for the Communion Girl. Communion Girl's a horror fan. This is just because if you've seen any horror movie in the past two decades, then you could probably guess.
Yeah.
What's going to happen next? It is. You said this is Warner Brothers, actually, is what you told me?
Warner Brothers Spain or something like that produced it.
It makes perfect sense because it feels like Insidious. It feels like a lot of A24 movies. It feels like...
Yeah.
It's Chucky, but it's not. Like, I don't know. It's really dumb. A lot of the time, I was just like, oh, it's this movie now. Oh, it's this movie now.
Right.
Oh, you also want to reference The Exorcist. Cool.
A lot of people online were saying it's kind of like The Ring. The plot of The Ring. Sure, right? Like you said, it's...
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. It's all these movies.
It's all the movies, yeah.
I swear we reviewed this movie like 30 times already, but it was not this movie.
So, full disclosure, I did pick this movie because I'm thinking... Before I didn't know Warner Brothers produced it, so I was like, okay, Spanish movie, trailer looked good enough, and it's about a haunted object, the little communion girl. So everybody doesn't know, it's like a communion girl doll that is used when during a ceremony they have like these dolls for communion, like all the, like, you know, communion, they get dressed up in little white outfits. So the doll's very similar, and in this case they were taking pictures with it, and I don't know, it's like a big thing, it's like a big rite of passage thing. I'm assuming Catholic. I'm gonna go on a limb and say these people are Catholic. It is Spain, but I don't want to misrepresent the wrong religion, but it's very similar to that. Did you ever make your first communion? Were you ever forced into church, John?
Yeah. So, two different types. Yes. So Catholicism and Presbyterian.
Presbyterian. Wow. Okay.
Couldn't tell you the difference. So, I was asleep like 99% of the time. The pastor at the Presbyterian church ended up teaching me how to drum.
Oh, there you go.
Which was like really interesting because he'd be like, all right, well, we're going to do this and this. And I got to relate it to Jesus. So this, but also, so this is how you do this. He's the guy that showed me Royal Crown Review before I heard them on The Mask.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
I was like, dude.
Nice.
He would always try to, I remember this guy would always try to incorporate music into his sermons, but these old white folk just were not having it. Like he was trying to explain something with John Bonham, so you play Led Zeppelin in church, and they got so upset. I'm like, dude.
This rocks. John Bonham's a god. Drums.
He is Jesus.
So, yeah, I made my first communion. I have pictures. So apparently I was there. So I have a funny story that reminded me that
long straight black hair.
I did have hair. I do have a funny story. They sent me to Sunday school even though it was on Saturday, and them used to make me go to that. But apparently, I guess I misbehaved a lot or I wasn't listening. Surprise, surprise. And then I was bored. And then I think whoever was teaching it pulled my dad aside and was talking to him one day. And then my dad, you know, I had to stay after one day. And then my dad got, you know, picking me up. And so they spoke to him. And then we got back in the car or whatever. And then they told me, he told me that, like, oh, yeah, you're messing around too much in class. That they said that. They don't know if they're going to have you back because you're the type of kid that if they tell you to not run your head into the brick wall, you're going to go do it. So it's like that he doesn't listen or something like that. I forgot like how I described it, but it was something along those lines that I basically would just like, I was not, we're just rebellious, constantly rebellious. So
dude, I used to love all those expressions, which I swear, just judging by where we come from.
Yeah.
I swear these were probably people that genuinely thought that you might do something like that because they heard this expression from some other place in the Midwest or something.
Yeah.
Like, dude, yeah. Kids will run their heads into the wall. I heard this one kid jumped off a cliff and all the other kids did it too. Like,
well, exactly. Yeah. That's one of those old timey expressions. Or like, what is it? The don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, what does that even mean? Does that even fucking mean, dude? I have no idea.
Which is sound advice, because I would probably be tempted to be like, can I just like hold out a big strainer and then I just dump the bathwater with the baby? I'll get caught in the little strainer. How do you dry babies? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, just throw it all out. Throw it away. Just throw it all away. So, but anyways, yeah. All right. That's good. The comedian. I have no easy transition. So I'll say this. It has a lot of problems. I'm very mixed, not impressed at all with the story and how it progressed. But I'll say this. I actually liked the setup, the story, and the family. I liked that dynamic. And as the story kind of built, the mystery, I thought, never really got interesting. And then the reveal of whatever is going on, which we'll say for spoilers, never got heated up enough. It was never really like...
Oh, no. I'll spoil it. It was stupid.
It was pretty disappointing.
Anyway, yeah. Okay.
We'll get there. We'll get there, John.
I just
want
to make fun of it so bad. Yeah.
We'll definitely get there. So that was kind of like, oh, that sucks. Because like, I think there's like some good actors. And like, I kind of felt that there was a nice dynamic among the family setup. And I could totally relate to the main character, Sarah, in this case, where she's like rebelling. She's kind of considered poor, right? She's like kind of poor, new to a town. Yeah. Her family works at a factory. And I remember also being young and being like, don't have a car. So I had to like depend on other people who had cars to get places, which there's a fun scene where her and her friend are trying to go to a club or something, right?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say you would just randomly let two...
rapey guys.
Not inviting a very rapey guys if you were right.
Dude, if you had a car, I was just wanted to get the hell out of here at some point. When I was that age, I didn't give a shit. Just give me in a car, give me the fuck out of my house. Not that I had a bad childhood or anything. I was just like, I had a very sweet mother who loves me to pieces. So but it was never that. It was just like, oh, I just want to do my own thing and rebel and so I definitely was like relatable.
Fucking boring where we grew up.
Yeah, it was super boring. And
so funny, I did the same exact thing. Just wanted to add on, piggyback off that. I was always out. If people were somewhere, I would fucking go and do that. Kind of like that Smith song, The Community Girl, where he goes, I just want to be where the people are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what is this, a fork? No, it's a spoon, right? That's his song.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I forgot the actual lyrics, so I just gave the line from The Little Mermaid instead.
Yeah.
I would just go out at random, and now... when I live in a city where there's something happening all the fucking time, it takes a lot for me to go out.
Okay. Yeah.
What part of town is this in?
Oh, I mean, we live in a sprawling, giant mega city here, so.
Yeah. If you've seen Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone.
Of course.
That's what... it looks
like. That's my neighborhood. That's where I live.
If you've seen The Crow, then you know what LA looks like.
Yeah, I'm just gonna escape from LA. That's what LA looks like.
Really, really looks exactly like that still too.
Yeah. Yeah, so but yeah, so but that unfortunately, like, there's no real like stakes to the plot because there's a lot of like fake outs. Like, there's no nothing really happens, but we're still chugging along to whatever this mystery is. And like you said, I think they used a lot of filming techniques, story devices from other movies, and kind of played them out the same way. So it never felt like, it felt like a lot of jumbled parts of other movies.
Yeah, yeah, the tropes were there. Like, oh man. Mm-hmm. I was like, who directed this? Quentin Tarantino? Like, why is this like an homage to all these other movies? I don't know.
Yeah.
not digging it.
Yeah, Tarantino's a thief. I want to be on record and say that, but... Unpopular opinion, I understand.
You know what? Fine, I'll fucking say it. I'll be the hero that Los Angeles needs. Little
deserves.
Secret in the industry is Quentin Tarantino has a foot fetish. Oh, yeah, I know. I said it.
No.
First to hear it is here.
No.
I don't know if you noticed, but he likes to shoot stinky, weird feet.
Yeah. And apparently it did a lot of cocaine with
the checks. Yeah.
Like,
he was coming up in like the '90s, right? So
yeah. Cause I'm a fan of Fiona Apple. And she said, a few years ago at this point that she quit coke because, was it her boyfriend at the time, Paul Thomas Anderson and Quentin Tarantino, were getting so coked up and talking about themselves that she just quit. She quit because
I read this story too, or like it was an interview, right?
Yeah, and yeah,
yeah. My favorite part was like they were just talking about themselves, going back and forth, just talking about themselves. It's like, wow, dude. Yeah, that's exactly how it is, dude.
Literally, no. Yeah, literally that Boogie Nights scene with Alfred Molina is probably very based on real experiences, I imagine.
Because I think, I don't know if it's if you get to that level, or then these are the type of guys that never actually had friends, you know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes in these big movies, the conversations that happen are either like really well done, and then eventually you do see where the conversation came from because it was fucking taken from an old movie.
Oh yeah.
Or they're just so like, I don't think people talk like this. Like, who talks like this?
Mm-hmm. Did you get any from this story like I did, or did you like just kind of was didn't affect you the same way, or take anything from it?
Like the beginning part. Yeah, sort of, but also that felt very much like another movie, and it, at the time, I could recall what movie it reminded me of, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost the same setup. Which I guess the only tell that you have that it's 1987 is her friend comes in, or cousin, or whoever she is.
Friend.
That looks kind of like Amy Winehouse.
Like a chola? Yeah.
Yeah. That's what yeah. It's like the best 80s that comes out of this movie. Yeah. Aside from, I guess, like the punk guys are supposed to be very New Order-ish or whatever, and I'm like, no.
No. Just dressed up. Yeah. Just up to look like those guys. And there was an arcade at some point.
There was an arcade.
Yeah.
There's a very angry father who's short.
He was super short. So, yeah.
And then, but still is like throwing manhandling. It's like, come on.
Like,
what's going on here?
She was new to town and she made friends with kind of like the rebel girl, the girl that gets in trouble. And her dad was the little short guy. the short man. Yeah.
Oh, that's where I started getting lost in the movie too. They kept like, they made it seem like it was going to be is her name Sarah, right? Sarah's story.
Right.
And mm-hmm. then once they introduce her friend, I don't know, Rebbe.
Yeah.
It kept going back to like, oh, her story. And then when they introduced the punk guys, but like there's one punk guy that's like nice, I guess. I don't
know. He just smiles a lot. He ends up, yeah.
Yeah. Just very harmless and just is sitting there like a creep. But and it would go to his story too. And I'm like, what? What's going on? And then I would keep forgetting that there was like some little girl.
Some communion girl.
Some communion girl. It's very important to the story, but you're not going to see what she looks like or know who she is until like, I don't know, 40 minutes in.
There's a couple of, yeah, there's also some really bad, like, jump scares in this, too.
Because they're super predictable, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
There's going to be a jump scare right now. Yep.
Yeah.
Like that, and also, I hate to say it, but the CGI. And
the oh. Lights. Oh, we'll get to the CGI.
Rough.
That's putting it nicely, yeah. Rough is undone. That's probably another way I'd describe it. First pass.
There's like one, I mean, I guess we should wait, but it's just funny because there's one where I think it was practical,
mm-hmm.
but that made it bad because then this character had no expression, just like, just like a, oh, scary. And then it just like looked goofy. It kind of looked like, if anybody's familiar with, I Think You Should Leave, there's a season 2 that became a meme sketch where he's in like this full body outfit and he says, I don't even want to be here anymore. And it's like a really bad looking outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You want to get into spoilers? Try to walk through these.
Spoil the shit out of this.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So
spoiler alert. You've already seen this movie.
Like, yeah, whether you, that was, yeah, that's the thing that's most disappointing was that they just chose the most obvious, boring ways to go with the story. So the big mystery is that, like, there's a communion girl that curses them. And then they have to find out why they're cursed. But, you know, and then we kind of, it happened, I guess, maybe like a couple years before. Everyone's lying about this thing, and there's something wrong. There's something kind of weird about the girl, which is why I think people say it's kind of like The Ring, because there was something kind of weird about the girl, but they didn't really go into detail other than that she was kind of discolored, like her, she had like a skin condition that made her.
That's what I thought the real mystery was. I'm like, I don't understand, because when they got into the real like girth of what the situation was, it was what I understood. Nobody wanted to hang out or play with this kid.
She was different.
Because they had this skin condition.
Right. Yeah.
And which they quite literally just looked like maybe it was a little rash. Maybe she got spider veins at a very young age. Like, it
I forget part of the curse, and I'm using quotations for, you know, in a podcast, in air quotations, is that the people who encountered her or this doll would get these marks, bruises that were similar to the kid, right? All over
the
body.
Exactly like what the kid had, because the kid didn't have it all over her body.
Yeah, no, she didn't.
It was like in a very small area. And they're like, oh, nobody wanted to touch her. Nobody wanted to play with her.
To be fair, it was the 80s, early 80s, late 70s.
So what did they think it was?
Who knows? I mean, the science was so bad back then. I don't know. So,
yeah, I guess so.
You're different. I hate you. It's kind of the vibe we got from this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is very stupid. And then I don't even know what the town is trying to cover up. It didn't seem like it was anybody's fault that this girl was walking away from something or running or something like that and fell into this well and nobody knew. That's what it seemed like. So why?
Yeah.
What are they trying to cover up if they didn't even know what happened?
Also, I think they also make a good, they try to make a big deal about the fact that like it's a very small conservative town. you know, one of those where it's like anybody kind of weird or different is going to be ostracized. And I think that, and you and I both know that small conservative Hispanics is probably one of the worst things you could probably encounter. So I can only, growing up, I know what that feels like, right? So I imagine they were very judgmental and vocal about it. And because this kid was different.
Our home area made national headlines during 2020.
No.
Because a group of like teenagers were doing a Black Lives Matter march very peacefully, too. I saw the video footage. It was just them walking around with signs, like not even trying to bother anybody. And some dude who does landscaping, I guess, some like 40-year-old guy, got mad at these teenagers and jumped out of his vehicle, cutting them off, and started, turned on his chainsaw and started swinging it around like he was fucking Leatherface and getting mad at them.
Tell him to go home.
Like, what? Time to get like, what home. The fuck? It's just the type of people.
Yeah. That sort of. Where we come from. Yeah, and I think that's what they were. I mean, we're inferring a lot of this. In the movie, it's a lot less clear.
That's true. Maybe we're just assuming it's like an area that we came from.
Yes. No, I mean, they do make a point that, like, remember, because, like, the aunt is, like, super judgmental, and she's, like, supposedly, like, works, gave them jobs there at that factory, so it's clearly she's somebody who has that pull, you know, and that the parents are poor, and that they're like struggling. They're very, very minimally into the picture because they're always supposedly at work. So they do paint. They try to paint that picture of this town. So this essentially what they're saying is like if a girl dies, then the town essentially didn't care, covered up, moved on. You know, but of course there's was what this is like the big twist is that there's like some. How would you describe this? Thing that was persuading her into the well or hole in the ground there, the center of town.
That was
This is when it got bad. Thing is like, yeah.
If this is like a revenge tale, why is it only affecting the new dumbass kids that are touching the doll?
Exactly. It's nothing. The cold open had the guy who has the car there, the girl he was dating and her sister both were cursed the same way. And I guess they saw it and killed themselves or something. I don't know. It was like I said, it's a mismatch of a lot of movies. So just pick your own adventure. Type story.
Yeah. I think that's actually the beauty of Communion Girl, because Communion Girl is what you want Communion Girl to be. And that's kind of what it wants you to think, wants you to realize, and wants you to see in yourself. You can be whatever you want to be. And if you want to be all the things, be all the things.
Well said,
John.
You're
gonna die anyway.
Yeah, well said, John. Yeah. Yeah. So to describe, like, it was just like this. Does anybody remember the troll from the Labyrinth with the red hat? His face?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of look like that.
Yeah. Kind of look like that. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Forget his name.
It's very goofy.
Yeah.
And then you kind of know what's going to happen at the very end.
Right. Yeah.
Because by that point, you're like, well, the dumbest thing they could do is do this also, which is what I'm assuming is about to happen.
Right. So they did it.
And which is exactly what happened in The Ring. So I understand why people are like, this is exactly like The Ring, because that's the exact ending of The Ring where, you know, girl who is forced into the fucking well because this thing is able to like pull these human bodies through the air, but needs her to do this.
Yeah.
Pointless task of finding her body in the well and then hugging the body, and then the body disappears.
And all is well.
Released it into the world.
The body was found. Everything's good. The ghosts are gone. uh-oh, the movie has 5 more minutes. What's going to happen? Yeah.
And then, yeah, what happens is she's looking around and it's getting kind of dark around her. And then she sees her dad walk out of a building and sees her adoptive mother sort of deal and her best friend and her this little kid that she took care of walk through another door. And then she's just like swinging around like, I don't know what's going on. And then she sees a candle light up in the middle of the darkness. And a hand reach out.
I was going to say, where are you going?
And then she shakes the hand. And then there's like some random dude in Spain. Oh, it all connects. To talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much it. So it has the... Hey, yeah, the extra 5 minutes just keeps going like, oh, we saved it. I'm going home. Little sister, I'll make you a sandwich. Oh, everything's so great. Let me go check on my sister. Oh, no, the whatever labyrinth troll creature man is in there. So. Scream. Everyone screams. Cut to black. Yeah.
Cut to black.
Yeah.
Print it.
Sell it to Americans. They'll love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty.
So now my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a rating. I had trouble trying to figure out what I was going to give this.
Okay, perfect. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Communion Girl 4.6 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, 4 feels about right. Yeah, 4 feels about right. It felt like a movie that I actually enjoyed the setup, but like it disappoints every moment after that. So, yeah. And does, it's kind of like baby's first horror movie, you know, it's just very, even if like you haven't seen a ton of horror movies, you know, you can watch this, probably guess what's going to happen at every point of the story.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, I think that was its major issue. It pulled from like almost every iconic horror movie that came out. I would say since the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Alrighty. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.